Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. We're going to start reading in verse number 2. Actually, let's go with verse number 1. We'll read 1 through 8. It says, "And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into the high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias and Moses, and they talked with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, is it good for us to be here? Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and the voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked around about, they saw no man any more, save Jesus only with themselves." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done today. I thank you for your love. Thank you for Sunday school. I just pray now that everything that's done here this morning be for your honor and your glory. We love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Title of this morning's message is Just Jesus. Just Jesus. 2 words. Just Jesus. And, you know, there is time in our lives when we feel that we need a lot of help. And then there's times in our lives we don't feel that we need any help at all. And there are many of us, believe it or not, from time to time even need a little extra help, like I do. But if you take and you look at people today, they'll try to get help anywhere they possibly can. And a lot of times they go to the wrong place for help. In the scripture that we just read, there's a phrase which I feel that we need to look at this morning. It's found in verse 8, and I'm going to read it again. But it says in there, it says, "And suddenly, when they looked around about, they saw no man anymore, save," who? "Jesus. Save Jesus only with themselves." Now, if you take a look at those 2 words, "save Jesus," the Greek word for "save" in this context here is Allah, which means is translated over 600 times in the New Testament. But this verse could have read that there was no one or no man there but Jesus, or just Jesus. I want to look and set the stage a little bit to show you how this story took place. There are 3 men in the inner circle with Jesus. Who were they? Peter, James, and John. Now, we need to realize that these 3 men went everywhere with Jesus. They did. They were in the Garden of Gethsemane. They went farther in than the rest of the disciples. They sat in there, and they were within eyeshot of Jesus when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter, James, and John were taken up into the mount with him. And these 3 were in Jesus' inner circle, so to speak, and they were the ones that were with him constantly. But they went into a high mountain. Jesus had his countenance changed. He received what I believe was his glorified body at the time, because it says that his raiment was white as snow, and so white that it could not even be bleached that white. And we need to realize that it was only by God that this happened. Now, Moses and Elijah came on the scene, and I believe that they talked with Jesus about what was going to happen to him in the very near future. I believe that Elijah and Moses communed with him, and they talked about the terrible beating and the terrible incident that he was going to be going through in not too distant a future. And now we need to realize that Elijah and Moses were not in heaven at this time period. Elijah and Moses were not in heaven. They did not come out of heaven. They came out of paradise. Why was it that they were in paradise and not heaven? Yeah, Jesus had not died yet. Jesus had not died. He had not been buried. He had not risen the third day according to the Scripture. That meant that no man could raise, you know, from the grave or be in heaven. They would have been in paradise. If you go into Luke chapter 16 and you read in there and you look at the rich man and Lazarus, you'll see that there was a great gulf between paradise and hell. And that when a person died, they went to one place or the other. They either went to paradise or they went to hell. Well, after Jesus died on the cross, he went into the depths of the earth and he led the captive free. That means that everybody that was in paradise, he took with him to heaven. And so there is no longer any paradise. But you know, as we go down through this story and we look at this, we see that good old Peter has to get his 2 cents worth in. You know, Peter says, "Hey, Lord, maybe we should take and make 3 altars, one for you, one for Elijah, and one for Moses." Do you know, there's something about this story that I never could figure out. How did Peter, James, and John know that that was Moses and Elijah? After all, they had never met them. They had lived hundreds of years before them, and yet they knew who they were. It's always kind of puzzled me a little bit. I probably won't know that till I get to heaven. But, you know, here's Peter, and he says, what we need to do is we need to make 3 altars, one for each of you, and we'll put a sacrifice on them, and we'll sacrifice. Jesus was not real happy with what he had said. You know, all of a sudden, there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and there was a voice that came out of that cloud, and it said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." Who was the voice out of the cloud? God himself. He says, "I want you to understand something. This is my beloved Son. You gotta listen to what he says." I don't think Peter, James, and John up to this point had been listening too carefully to the things that Jesus was saying. Now, the 3 disciples fell on their faces and they became as dead men. And Jesus touches them and they looked up to find just Jesus. There was no more Moses, there was no more Elijah, and there was no more cloud left. It was all gone. The only thing that was there was Jesus standing with them. You know, Jesus did not have his raiment white as it was when Moses and Elijah were there. His countenance had went back to the way they were. And things were back to normal again, just as they were when they first went up on the mountain. Everything had went back to normal again. No doubt, they may have had some questions for Elijah and Moses that they would like to have. But, you know, they had just seen one of the most spectacular sights ever known to man, and now it was all over. You know, no doubt they would have had lots of questions for Moses. I know I would have. I mean, you know, I would have said, "Hey, Moses, how was it the Red Sea split?" Amen? "How was it that Red Sea split and you guys walked across on dry ground?" Or I would have said, "Hey, Moses, how was it when you walked up to the rock at Horeb and you struck it 3 times, billions of gallons of water came out of that rock?" You know, I love to ask that. Another thing I would like to ask him is, "Hey, what did manna taste like? What did manna really taste like?" You know, After all, they ate it for 40 days or 40 years, right? And then I would have liked to ask him, how did it feel to wear the same clothes every day for 40 years? You know, their clothes never wore out, right? Their shoes never wore out. They wore everything the same for 40 years. Can you imagine women for 40 years wearing the same thing? I mean, you know, I got to think about this a little bit, and I thought, you know what, here's a woman, she goes to her closet, and she opens up the door, and she goes, oh, what a beautiful dress. And she puts it on. The next day, she goes back to the closet, and she goes, oh, what a beautiful dress. It's the same one. She puts it on. The next day, every day for 40 years. You know, the guy gets up in the morning, he goes, well, what pair of shoes shall I put on today? Oh, that's right, I only have one. What is, can you imagine the smell if a person had smelly feet? You know, that pair of shoes, after 40 years wearing the same pair of shoes? Man! But listen, what we need to realize is that I would have had lots of questions for Moses. I would have. In fact, even today I could have think of all kinds of questions to ask him. But no doubt they probably had questions for Elijah too. You know, how did that fire come down out of heaven and consume all those 400 false prophets? How did that come down and suck up all of that sacrifice and the water too? Were you really, really fed by ravens? You know what I mean? Those are questions I'd have for him. After all, a raven eats everything. You know, all it is a blackbird, big blackbird. And, you know, so here we see that I would have had all kinds of, you know, did the widow's barrel really have that much meal in it every day? After all, we went to the widow, what happened? She said, I only have enough for myself and I to eat, and then we're going to what? Die. All she had was enough in there for her and her son. He said, well, make it for me first.
Let's see here. Let me think about this for a minute.
I got enough for one cake, and my son and I are going to eat that and die, or we can feed you and we're going to die sooner. Right? Now, logic says, I'll feed myself first, then I'll give to you what's left over. But she didn't. She gave to Elijah first, and the Bible says that there was every morning she got up and the meal was in the barrel, and there was always enough oil for them for that day. And when she used it all up, guess what? The next day it was there again. You know, how did that happen? I mean, these are questions I love to take and ask Elijah. You know, they did not realize what they had really just seen. They did not realize the importance of being in the presence of just Jesus. You know, they had seen all of the things that he was able to do. You know, they had seen what it would be like, believe it or not, to be in heaven. After all, who was there? Elijah and Moses and Jesus in his glorified body. They saw a little glimpse of what it was going to be like in heaven. Now, then they heard a voice from heaven, and it was of God himself. He says, this is my beloved son. You know, here we see three of them, Peter, James, and John, in the presence of greatness. And yet they didn't even realize the greatness that they were in the presence of. You know, it's much later, after Jesus had ascended into heaven, and Peter had seen what just Jesus could do. He wrote this in 2 Peter 1, 16 and 17. It says, for we have not followed commonly devised fables. When we make known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. You know, it was not until later on that Peter understood the magnitude of him being with just Jesus. You know, if Peter would have only known just Jesus when he had a chance to walk and talk with him, he might have lived his life a little differently. If Peter would have only taken the time to spend at the feet of just Jesus and learn everything that he could from him, he may have had a better life. But he didn't. Why? Because he thought he was just Jesus. After all, what did the people say? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is his mother not Mary, and his sister and his brothers are with us? The people thought he was just Jesus. Just a simple carpenter's son. Nobody realized he was the Messiah. If Peter would only thought more about just Jesus instead of himself, he would have had the answers that he needed later in life. You know, it was just Jesus standing alone on the holy mountain with three frightened disciples. You know, they had no idea, believe it or not, what they had just been a part of. They had no idea that they had just been in the presence of greatness. They had no idea. Oh yeah, they saw Moses, they saw Elijah, but it just kind of went over their heads. Okay, so they're there. Y'all worried? Yeah. You know, this was only a start for what would take place with just Jesus. It was just Jesus who was led from the garden one night. All had forsaken him. It was just Jesus who was tried for crimes that he did not commit. Peter stood by and denied him three times. It was just Jesus who was whipped with a cat of nine tails 29 times. It was just Jesus who had his beard torn out and spit on. It was just Jesus who had the crown of thorns placed on his brow. It was just Jesus who was led like a dog up Calvary's mountain. It was just Jesus who was placed on that cross. It was just Jesus who had the nails pierce his hands and his feet. It was just Jesus who was placed in a borrowed tomb. It was just Jesus who in his dying hour had compassion on the thieves, and one of them received salvation. It was just Jesus who looked at his mother and in his final hour told John to take care of her. It was just Jesus who wanted forgiveness for all those who had done this to him. It was just Jesus who was separated from God the Father for the first time from eternity past until that very moment. Think about that for just a minute. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit had always been together. And then for the space of 3 hours, they were totally 100% separated because Jesus had taken upon him all the sins of the world. It was just Jesus who they placed in that borrowed grave owned by a guy by the name of Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, and they rolled the stone in front of it and sealed it. It was just Jesus who on the third day rose again. Death could not hold him. The grave could not keep him. Satan could not have victory over him. He rose victorious for you and I. I'll tell you what, that was just Jesus. It was just Jesus who did just as he said he would. It was just Jesus who was sitting at the right hand of the Father now, giving intercession for you and I. In Isaiah 59:16 it says, And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness to sustain him. You know, here we see that we have an intercessor. An intercessor is a go-between. An intercessor is someone who pleads our case for us. How many have ever been to court? I know I have. And I've been in court, not necessarily for myself. Yeah, kind of, for myself too. Yeah. And I've been to the court for the church quite a few times. Anyway, but you know what we always have? We always have a what? A lawyer. What does a lawyer do? He talks for us, doesn't he? Because we can't talk directly to the judge, which I think is stupid. I do. I like to put my own words in there in my own way and tell him what I think. And then I end up in jail. No, but anyway, what we need to realize is that we have an intercessor who is a go-between us and to the judge. And it's the same way in heaven. We have an intercessor through the Lord Jesus Christ that goes between us and God the Father. He pleads our case. Now, you need to realize that we have someone who's our accuser. In 1 John 2:1 it says, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate," or an intercessor, "with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Now, what we need to realize is that Jesus is standing there, and he is pleading our case for us. Over here is Satan, and he's saying, "You dirty, rotten sinner, you need to go straight to hell." And Jesus is standing over here, and he's going, "Wait a minute, hold it. He's covered by my blood. He's covered by my blood. He does not deserve to go to hell. He's covered by the blood." Old Funny Face says, "Well, yeah, but look at the sin he committed." Jesus says he's covered by the blood. His name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's covered by the blood. Funny Face gets really, really upset. And I mean, he just has a temper tantrum. And God says, "Hold it. He's covered by the blood." Next case. Next one comes up. Old Funny Face says, "You know what? This one here is guilty." Jesus says, "I know him not." Out he went. Listen, we need to realize that the great accuser is accusing us daily, 24 hours a day, in front of God, of the things that we do wrong. He wants nothing more than to see everyone go to hell. I mean, that's just the way he is. And Jesus is standing there as their intercessor saying, "You know what? They're covered under my blood." It was just Jesus who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." All we need to do is trust in just Jesus. After all, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Who was his son? Just Jesus. We need to realize that God loved us so much that he sent the only thing that he had, just Jesus, to die for our sins. He paid a penalty that he didn't know. That would be like going to court and saying, "All right, I know he's worthy of death. He's a dirty, rotten, no good murderer." Aren't you glad you sat in the front row, Chuck? But you know what? Kevin, being the nice guy he is, he goes up to the judge and he says, "You know what? I'll tell you what, Judge. I'll take his penalty. I will take his death penalty. Because he's Chuck." You know, that's what Jesus did for us. You know, he went and he said, I will pay the penalty that I don't owe for something that I didn't do. And that's exactly what he did. He went to the cross so you and I could have eternal life. You know, how sad it was, though, that they had seen him. They saw that what he could do. They had been with him. They saw him heal the sick, cause the blind to see, cast out devils and raise the dead. Yet they did not believe in just Jesus. They walked, talked, slept, ate with him, listened to his preaching, yet they believed not in just Jesus. For 3 years, they went with him everywhere. They saw 5,000 people be fed, and there's 12 baskets left over with 3 fish and 5 loaves. They saw 4,000 being fed. They saw countless thousands of people who were healed. And yet, they did not believe in just Jesus. You know, I don't know about you, but I know one thing. If I would have been there, I would have had to kind of think to myself, you know what? This guy might be what he says he is. You know, if we think about it, there's really no difference today, is there? There's really no difference in the day and age that we live in today. You know, we see all that Jesus has done. We see the very Word of God. We have it in our hands. We see scientific proof that Jesus did just as he said he did. We can walk and we can talk with him. Yet, there are so many who do not know him. You know, there are so many who feel they need more than to just trust in just Jesus to save them. There are many who feel that just Jesus isn't enough for them. They need the world instead. There has to be a different way to get to heaven than trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. There has to be. You know, there's so many people that say, well, I got to work for it. I got to buy it. I'm going to do all these good works and everything else to get to heaven. You can't do it. You just can't do it. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. It isn't what we did, it's what he did. You know, it's no different when Jesus was here on earth. There were those who did not believe who he really was. You know, they felt that they needed to do more than just trust in just Jesus for their spiritual needs. They did not understand all they needed to do was put their hope and faith in him, and he would give them eternal life. You know, I've got good news for you today, though. I do. All we need to do is trust in just Jesus. You know, if you're not here, if you're here today and you're not saved, you're not 100% sure that if you were to die right now, you go to heaven. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come to him and will sup with him and him with me. You know, we need to understand all we need to do is trust in just Jesus. That's all we got to do. Just trust in just Jesus. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. You know, if you need help, go to just Jesus. You know, there's an awful lot of people today stumbling and bumbling through life trying to get things done their own way, and they can't do it. You know, as I was writing this message, I got to thinking of this church. 20 years ago, when we started this church, I had people in this town tell me there's no way, none, that that church will ever survive over 2 years. None. People have come to this town time and time and time again. They've opened churches and they've went. Since I've been here 20 years ago, I know of 15 churches that have started and closed their doors in Florence. And I'm thinking to myself, why? Because they don't trust in just Jesus. You know, when we started this church, I had no financial backing. I had nothing to go on other than faith. And yet, the Lord blessed the church. You know, what we need to realize is it's not what we do, but what Jesus does. If we need help doing something, just trust in Him. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with what such things as you have. For He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Listen, Jesus isn't going to leave us. We may have hard times in life. Did you know that? Have you ever had anything bad go in your life? Have you? You have had something bad go in your life? You know what I have too. I think we all have, haven't we? Haven't you had something bad happen in your life? I know I had a telephone call this morning from one of the people that come to church here, and he said, "Pastor, will you pray with me? Something really bad has happened to my granddaughter." And I sat there and I prayed with him, prayed with him. And he said, "Just continue to keep her in prayer." And I said, "Oh, I will." Listen, bad things happen to all of us. Just because we get saved, just because we ask Jesus into our heart, believe me, bad things are still going to happen. Bad things are still going to happen to us. You know, there's probably some people in here today having financial problems. There's probably people in here having other problems in their lives. Listen, we're going to have problems. Just because we're Christian doesn't mean that we're going to not have trouble. You know, don't go it alone. Go to just Jesus and ask Him to help you get through it. You know, if you have a burden and feel that the whole world is caving in around you, go to Jesus. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Burdens are lifted where? At Calvary. You know, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. All my sins were as crimson stain. And He washed them what? White as snow. Listen, what we need to realize is this. Many times we have burdens and loads on us that we can't carry. Have Jesus help us. Have Jesus help us carry those loads. You know, if your needs, which you feel are insurmountable, you need to go to just Jesus. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." You know, many times we have not because we ask not. We have not because we ask not. You know, when you have a need, you need to go to Jesus. You know, I'm going to read that verse again. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need." Not needs, not plural. It's singular. That means that God is going to supply your need, one need at a time. As you need it. You know, if I have need for a car, believe it or not, He's going to supply it. If I have need for whatever, He's going to supply it. One need at a time. Not all of them at the same time. I had a lady in my office one day, and she says, "I have so many things I need." And I said, "Well, what do you need?" And she started on this laundry list of things that she needed. She needed her satellite bill paid. She needed money to go to Las Vegas. She's going, and I'm going, what? I said, those aren't needs, they're wants. She goes, no, I need them. You know, one day I had a guy come in. I couldn't even believe it. I had this guy come into my office. You know, I have a lot of people come in my office and ask Nancy, and they, want money. I mean, they want me to help with their bills. This guy came in, sat down. He says, can you help me with my satellite bill? I said, no. He says, well, I got to get it paid. I said to him, I said, what about your light bill? He says, well, my lights have been turned off for 2 months. I said, you mean to tell me you don't have any lights, no electricity in your house, and you want me to help you with your satellite bill? How are you watching TV? He says, well, my neighbors are gone home for the summertime, and I've got an extension cord running from their house to mine. I said, that's illegal. He said, well, they won't know the difference. I mean, can you imagine, here's their light bill getting spiked up by 200%, and they said, well, what's going on here? You know what I mean? You know, our air conditioner must be really running a lot. You know what I mean? I mean, I couldn't even believe it. I said, you mean to tell me you've got an extension cord running from your neighbors over to your house so you have electricity to watch your satellite TV? Yeah. I said, do you work? No. I said, how do you get your food? Food bank. You know, I just cannot understand people's logic sometimes. I just can't. Maybe I was raised wrong. I don't know. But you know, when we have needs, we need to go to Jesus, and He'll fill those needs. You know, if all of us would take a little time and we would spend it with the Lord every day, we'd find out that we don't have as many needs as what we thought we did. You know, if you don't have peace, go to just Jesus. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose name is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. You know, maybe there's things in your life that are not just the way they should be. You don't have that perfect peace that you should. Yeah, listen, you need to go to just Jesus. And He's going to give you that peace. He'll give you the peace that passes all understanding way down in the depths of your heart. You know, all we need is just Jesus to fulfill our deepest desires. All we need is just Jesus to have eternal life. All we need is just Jesus to get us through all life's pitfalls. All we need is just Jesus to care for all of the need and supply everything we have to have in life. You know what I've found in my life is that God not only supplies all my needs, but He also gives me some of my wants. Have you ever noticed that? You know, He'll not only supply all your need, but He will also give you some of the wants. You know, when the disciples looked up and did not see Moses, and they did not see Elijah, all they saw was just Jesus. All they needed was just Him. And you know what? That's all we need today, is just Jesus. If we would trust in just Jesus, I guarantee that all of us would have a lot better life. Can you imagine the disciples? And they got their faces to the ground because they're afraid of the voice that they just heard from God. And they looked up, and all that was there was just Jesus. They didn't know if they were dreaming it. They didn't know exactly what had just happened. But they knew that just Jesus was with them. And you know, we need to remember that He is with us all the time. He's with us wherever we go. All we need to do is trust in Him, and He will take care of it. Father, thank You so much for this morning. We know that we just have to trust in You. And if we would trust in You, our whole life we'd go a whole lot better. So many times we want to take and do everything ourselves. We want to take and try to get ahead in life our way. And Father, we realize that all we need to do is just trust you, and you will supply our every need. Father, I pray if there's any here today that don't know you as their personal Savior, today would be their day of decision. Maybe you're here today and every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, preacher, I've been relying on myself to get through life. I haven't relied on just Jesus. But from this day forward, I'm going to look to Him for my guidance. Would you pray for me? Is there anyone like that? Just quickly, quietly put your hand up. Yes, hands all over the auditorium. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, preacher, I'm not 100% sure that if I were to die right now, where I would spend eternity. I've never trusted in just Jesus to save me. Would you pray for me today? Is there anyone like that? Quickly, quietly, just raise your hand, put it back down. Yes, I see those hands. Anyone else? Father, thank you so much for this morning. We thank you for your love. I pray for these that have raised their hand that they need to trust in just you. So many times it's hard to do that, and I just pray for them, Lord. I pray that they would put their hope and trust in you. Father, I just pray for these that have raised their hand also that aren't 100% sure that they know where they would go if they were to die today. I pray, Lord, that they don't leave until we find a solution for that. Father, we love you so much. I just thank you so much for dying on the cross for our sins. I pray now that you continue to guide and direct in this invitation, and we'll give the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's all